I don't blame migrants. I blame this country for creating the situation that has them here now because they created this fucking black hole in their countries.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. And they're being treated like shit. That's right. What's fucked up about it. So, no, I don't think they should be shipped all around the country. I don't think they should be treated as political fucking pawns, which they're being treated like. And as soon as this election fucking finishes up, they'll be discarded and thrown away and you'll never hear about them. And let's not talk about the countless amount of them who are being missing and raped and trafficked.
So as soon as this election's over, the bus pulls up and takes them out to the farm to pick those tomatoes that have been rotten. Yeah.
Or they put them back on a boat and send them back to wherever they came from.
They're not going to do that. We need the exploitation class.
They're going to be like, all right, after 10,000, the rest of you get back on the boat. Give me your strongest. We're going to have a migrant Olympics. Whoever can pick the most cherries gets to stay. What the fuck are they going to do, B? They're going to fucking... We're going to have the fucking migrant...
Yeah, let's get out of that before we...
Farm Wars.
He think he better than me because he said he can pick 4 barrels. Fuck him.
Farm Stars.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that magnificent intro, so you know what time it is. It's time for the loveliest, leanest, meanest, but happiest podcast that you have ever took time to listen to. This is Decoding 40. This is your boy, L.O. I'm your humble host this week, and there's no AKA, but J.G. Wentworth has your money. He has it now. So go get it. And I'm joined by two of the most magnificent voices in the podcast industry. They go by the names of.
What's up, good people? It's your boy, Vin, in the building. Hope everybody's safe out there in Radioland.
This is Alaric. Welcome, gentlemen. So, as always, a little bit of housekeeping before we start the show. If you want to give us a call or text, the number is 619-940-4040. If you want to give us an email and shoot us some business, or maybe you just like sending emails to cool podcast hosts, decoding40@gmail.com. If you want to go online and check out what's happening in the latest news of Decoding 40 or what's happening in the world of merch, go to decoding40pod.com. If you want to check us out on social media, it is Decoding 40 on all platforms. So feel free to reach out to us and say hello. Also, I want to ask you this. If you were listening to the show right now, I want you to rate this show and write a quick review for the show. It would help us out immensely because we've got reviews and we've got a great, I want to say we got a 5.0 rating, but we need some new blood in the system. So if you can just go ahead and take some time and also share it with someone so they know exactly what you're laughing at when you burst into hysterical laughter at your desk because you are forced to go into work and you no longer have remote work. I don't know if a lot of people caught this, that if you caught last week's show in the beginning, there was some fast forwarding done. It was because we had a conversation that in most circles would be deemed as absolutely sexist. So, or locker room talk. So thankfully, Kuba hooked us up and sped past all of that. If you want to hear what we said, just send $100 to our Cash App. Boys will be boys.
And we will share that audio with you.
It's just locker room talk.
Yeah, you know, grab them by the hoo-ha.
Gorilla grip, what?
If you are out there listening and you are a small business owner and you would like to help the show,
I would.
And help yourself, to expose yourself to the audience, think about sponsoring the show. Hit us up with an email and we can talk about how you can help push the show forward.
With some very business-friendly rates.
Absolutely.
No doubt.
All right, guys, who would like to start the check-in?
First, I want to talk about
what's been going on with my father. If you've listened to the last few episodes, I've detailed some of the health issues that my dad's been going through. And if you are a longtime listener of the show, you also know that my younger brother, who's 41, has Down syndrome. And this week we got news that my father's health has taken a turn for the worst. And the life expectancy is a pretty short one runway. They can't tell us exactly, but, you know, they said anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months. Who knows? But what was a priority for my sister and I was to tell my younger brother about what's going on. So today we had to take my younger brother to the hospital to have a conversation with my father. And my father had to explain to him that he would be coming home, but he wouldn't be there for very long. And I think my brother had, he's highly functional, even though he's down, he is highly functional. And I think he already had a clue about what was happening because he lost his mother in 1999 in a tragic car accident. So he's very familiar with the concept of death. And that was hard. That made this day very, very difficult. And, you know, after my father told him that, he proceeded to explain to him the things he should eat, the things he shouldn't eat. You know, he tried to normalize what was happening, what he was talking about, like giving him some last minute advice, if you will, about, you know, diet and how he should cook and what he should cook and how do you put the fork in the okra to see if it's fully cooked or if it's the way that you like it. And then, you know, after going through this explanation, you know, we said, you know, do you have any questions? Is there anything you'd like to ask us? We can, you know, if you're confused about anything, we can explain it to you. And he just turned to my dad and said, I love you. And that completely broke me. I had to leave the room. I was in full on tears. There's something about the innocence of the statement. Like he didn't care about anything that my father had to say about food and stuff like that, because he was zoned in and he wanted him to know that that he loves him. So that was made this day pretty fucking hard, pretty fucking difficult. But I'm grateful because I was surrounded by my sister, my niece, my nephew, my mom was there, and they weren't in the room when we were having this conversation, but they were at the hospital, and I have that support. Because if I didn't have that support, I don't know how I would even manage this. We have to think about what this means, end of his life. We have to think about practical things as well as emotional things. Where he's going to be buried. Where's the plot that you paid for, you know, 10 years ago? Where's the paperwork for that? This stuff is real. I found a draft of his will, but not the finished submitted version. And these are questions like I have to ask you. You're still here, but I'm asking you about your death. You know, it's fucking surreal. I'm asking you about how do you want to die? How do you want them to handle when you stop breathing or your heart stops? Do you want them to resuscitate you? Having to have this conversation is just like, it's crazy. But like I said, I'm grateful for the rest of my family being able to support me, my wife being super supportive and giving me the time that I need to get all the things that I need to get done. And yeah, the next, I don't know how long, but it's going to be rough from here on out. I know that. Yeah. So to everybody out there who is dealing with similar situations, you're not alone. To all the people who have lost a parent, I feel you. It's not easy. It's not easy. And I'm watching a very slow death. But yeah, I still remain hopeful. I think that's all I really want to talk about on that. Because if I continue anymore, I'm gonna have to stop the show. I've already stopped the show. But let's get it going again.
All right.
So Vin, last
real quick, I just wanna I'm sorry because it's a club you don't want to belong to, but inevitably you do, right? And hearing you talk about that just brings me back to that time. And I'm really, really sorry that you have to go through this. We all do, but, you know, you never want to really think about it. And it fucking sucks. You're doing a great job, brother. You're handling it and you're pushing through. And I'm proud of you for that. And you're being very strong. And I love you, man. And I'm sorry you have to go through this the way it's happening. Know that, you know, we're here for you. And that's real.
Thank you, man. Because, I mean, for a second, I considered not recording tonight, but I needed you guys. I needed to have this time. I needed to be able to talk about this. I needed to be able to share this, because this just running around in my head would have been just too much. So thank you guys.
No doubt. No doubt.
Okay. I had to be the host for this week, right?
Well, my check-in's not finished.
Oh, no, you're done, sir. You're done.
No. So last week, Vin, you made a suggestion for some TV time, and I kind of poo-pooed it, and I was like, I don't know, network television, not really feeling it. I might give it a try. The algorithm heard you, because okay. The next day, Sonia Son pops up on my feed.
Oh, boy.
Talking about this series.
The detective show, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think LA Times had written her up and given her like a great review or whatever. I'm like, okay, I'm meant to watch this show. I did start watching Will Trent, and it actually is a really good show, and I'm enjoying it.
I told you.
I am enjoying it. Yeah. I can't front.
What?
Yeah. On network TV?
On network TV. But it doesn't even feel like network TV.
Yeah. Well, you watch it, what, on Hulu or... I think it's on Hulu, maybe. Is it on Hulu or?
Let's just say I have a Fire Stick.
Okay. Jailbreaking. Jailbroke. Yeah.
And I've really been enjoying it. I've been binging. I think I'm on episode like 5, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think minus episode 5. But I will say this. It can very easily jump the shark. Mm-hmm. But this first season, mm-hmm. they're doing well. Second season, maybe they'll change it up and they'll switch it up and make it different. But there's so many different sub stories mm-hmm. that makes it interesting.
Yeah. I think I've watched up to about episode maybe 6 or 7. But it's like my wife will be watching like multiple series, and then like we'll binge watch like 3 or 4 episodes of one series. Next thing you know, we turn TV off, we'll eat something, and then we'll come back and we'll just start watching something else. But I think she's up to season 2 already, but it's very, very well put together show. You got Erica Christensen, I think is her name. She's made a comeback on the show, and a couple other actresses and actors there that are really good. And I like Sonya from ever since The Wire. So she's a great actress as well.
She's a dope actress. I'm enjoying it. And there's another show that I'm enjoying. Guy Ritchie.
Yes.
He's got a series on Netflix called yes. The Gentleman.
Yes.
And
oh yeah, I haven't gotten into that yet. It's what I got.
I'm only on episode 2.
Yo, good shit.
Mm-hmm. But look, I'm a Guy Ritchie fan because it's all gangster, shoot 'em up, English style, like British style. So it's pretty entertaining. I'm enjoying that. I didn't mention this, but the podcast Blowback. That someone just introduced me to. Mm-hmm. And they go in the first season of Blowback, they're talking about the Iraq War and what actually led the US to the Iraq War and the US relationship with Saddam before the war and US relationship with Iraq before Saddam. It's so interesting because
it's all about the
America's oil. Fucked up.
It's all about the oil, baby.
America is fucked up. Mm-hmm. And who's even more fucked up than America is Great Britain.
Yeah. They go hand in hand. They are the
fucking worst.
They are the twins of fuckery.
They are the twins. Fucking worst. No, I think. Yeah. Great Britain wrote the book. They wrote the book. Clearly they wrote the book.
And America caught up real quick.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And it's funny because my wife and I were having a conversation this week because is she the queen or is she still the princess? Kate Middleton?
No, she's not the queen. She's the princess.
The princess. has cancer. And my wife had a little sympathy and was like, oh, I feel bad. You know, she's got cancer. And I'm like, I hope they all get cancer, honestly.
Oh, Jesus.
What? I hope they all get cancer. I hope they all get cancer.
I hope they all get cancer.
May
they all get cancer.
May they all get cancer on their faces and asses.
I haven't been following it. I know everybody's like, where is Kate? But I thought she did have some small procedure or surgery done, which apparently has required.
She has, I don't know. It's not if it's either uterine cancer. I think she has.
Kate Middleton.
Yes. Harry's wife. Not Harry. What's the other
Charles's
one?
Charles's wife. No, not Charles's wife. Listen, look at us all on top.
What is it? Harry, Will- Paul. What's the fucking kid's name? What are the kids?
William.
William. He's the next in line to be king after with his bald head. He's got a bald head just like his dad. Because he's really the father. That other guy, the redhead, that's the fucking bodyguard's kid.
They sit atop a kingdom.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but okay.
Built on the bones and blood of our ancestors. Everybody. I've got no sympathy for them. They're not giving any of it back.
No, they're not.
They're not relinquishing any of that power.
Not yet.
All right, bury those jewels with her.
I have no sympathy for them. Like, she was like, oh, you know, when his mom died, there were like two little kids following the casket, you know, as their mom was being. I'm like, I don't care.
Well, Diana, I think I feel bad for because
she was killed by the queen.
No, I feel bad for her because honestly, she was the only one who seemed to care about anything outside of the throne. Like there was a documentary on her and the work that she was doing, the work that she was trying to do with AIDS and everything. Like, she was like one of the only royals that ever even talked about that shit. So I feel bad because I think she got a raw deal because when she left this nigga, they killed her in a tunnel.
Yeah.
You know, and she wasn't born into that life. She was a fucking school teacher when he met her.
Right. She chose that life.
She chose it, but she didn't know what she was getting into.
Come on, son.
I don't think she knew what she was getting into.
Come on, son.
I felt bad for Diana. I don't think she deserved to die. She didn't have to die the way she died.
If there was anyone in that family that I felt bad for, it was for Diana, because I don't think she was like the rest of them.
Mm-mm.
But the rest of them.
Oh, they can burn they can hell.
Get face and ass cancer. All of you.
And I hope they burn.
You burn in hell.
They will burn in hell. I mean, you can't commit that much evil around the world and there not be some karmic consequences to what you do.
Hi, Queen. I mean, I think they're experiencing it, wouldn't you say?
I don't know. Not enough cancer, in my opinion.
Jesus, oh, my goodness. This guy.
They could use at least 10% more cancer each. And with that, that's the end of my check-in.
Merch drop!
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This has been from Decoding 40, letting you know about decoding40pod.com. That's right, decoding40pod.com. That's our new site that's got all our merch on it, decoding40pod.com.
Decoding40pod.com.
If you've been following the podcast, you know that I've gotten new employment, and I discussed incident that happened at the job where, you know, some people got in trouble inside of a chat that we were all involved in. And this particular story is like the gift that keeps on giving. Today, I'm sitting on the couch and I get an alert and it's an email. And apparently the snitch that started this whole thing sent an email to every, I don't know if he or she was supposed to do this, how this happened, but there was an email sent to everybody in the class at our work emails naming names. And for whatever reason, my name was in there, not for doing anything, but supposedly the person in question threatened me, which is a total lie that never did happen. But whoever this person is really taking a lot of stock into trying to fuck this individual that is one of the provocateurs, right?
Right.
Hold on. Can I actually take a step back for a second? You received an email to your work email address.
Yes. Yes.
Who was this email from?
The person used an email address. The person's name.
They used some
an outside Gmail address that they created.
Got it.
And they sent it to the work email along with the head of training and a couple of other big names in the company.
Wow.
And I am going to work tomorrow and I already know that when we get to work, they're going to pull everybody aside and they're going to pull me aside. And what I don't appreciate is how my name got into the email. I don't like the fact that you're using me to make a point about one individual, because I have nothing to do with that shit. I don't like the fact that, you know, the company needs to do something. They need to find out who this person is, or let us know who they are, because you're involving us.
You said the snitch. I thought it was the one of the two involved in the altercation.
Well, we don't know. We don't know for sure.
Here's what I thought would be really funny. You should go through everybody's name who received it on, or was everyone blind copied?
No, everybody was CC'd, but there was.
Is there one person who was missing on the CC?
It's two people. Two people are missing a CC. And
those two people are the main culprits.
Who's the fucking mole, right? I don't think it's one of them.
Both of them.
They're working in codes.
But it's just certain words that were used that leads me to believe that it quite possibly might be this one individual. Now, what they got against this person, I don't know.
Is that one individual who you think it is one of the two people whose name
is not... Well, there's three people I thought. There's one person we all thought it was, but their name was CC'd on the email, which makes me believe that maybe they left the other two out to take the heat off of them.
Yeah, this is, I like this. This is
a novela, okay? History. Channel 41 like novela. New York y Jersey. All we need is some white looking Mexicans and we're ready to go, right? I'm going to be playing the part of myself, though. No white person going to play me.
I like this. I like this.
It's a veritable clusterfuck. Like one of my boys pointed out, it's like, yo, we're going to be known as the class that had the snitch in it. And then they're going to be like, oh, you're from that class. Oh, I'm not talking to you because you might be the snitch.
Exactly.
But like, again, I don't like that my name came up as an example of this particular person's wrath when that was a lie. It was a complete lie. I never had a problem with this dude. Right. And now, no, I didn't respond to it. I'm not going to respond to it because I'm going to respond to when they pull me in, which they're going to do because my name is in the email. I'm going to respond to say that is absolutely not true, that I did not have a problem with this person. And I take complete offense that I am not being told who my accusers are or who's putting my name in their fucking mouth. Keep your fucking name out of my mouth.
Well, do they
take umbrage?
Do they know about the group chat?
Yes, they have all the information.
Okay, they know about the group chat, right?
Yes.
Have they read the group chat?
Yes.
Okay, so then they know that that's not true.
No, because the person said that this individual threatened me in the class or during class time, not during the chat.
Oh.
Or made a statement that I was threatened by this person, including the group chat, but on two occasions. So inside and outside the group chat, which is totally false. Like they can tell that the group chat thing is a false thing. And like he made a comment about a drink that I had and I didn't take offense because it's like, listen, Generation X people already know. We're the generation of lunchroom snapping and playing what they call the dozens until someone left completely and severely mentally scarred forever. And usually I was the one holding the sword because I've always been a funny cat. I've always had jokes. And if you talked about my brother, which was a trigger, or my mom's, I unleashed death on you. And I would break your whole shit apart because you would leave there thinking you either wanted to fight me or you was scarred. So like when he said that little bullshit to me, I was like, okay, I didn't take offense to it. Everybody else was like, ooh, I was like, on that, that's what you think is something big? Come on. Like, you don't want me to pull out my comedian card.
Is that what was in the email?
No, that wasn't what was in the email.
It was a scenario that never happened.
It's a scenario that never happened. But in the chat, it happened because a person made a comment about a drink that I had and they thought I took offense to that. I was like, that's his opinion. Like, I'm drunk at the bar. I don't give a fuck what someone thinks about what I'm drinking. We've been on the show and talked about you clown me about you had a margarita, nigga. You whatever, well, a pina colada I said I had. And you niggas
were joking. Yeah, it's a pina colada, not a margarita.
So my thing
with
is
an
like,
umbrella, again, I might add.
There was no fucking umbrella. My point being,
our story, there was.
Exactly. There will always be an umbrella.
I had an umbrella and I was wearing a fucking Hawaiian shirt at the time when I was drinking, cherry. Gentlemen. With a cherry on top. It was great. Smooth. It was clean. It was nice. So, like, again, being Gen X and how we do, that's jokes to me. So, like, I wasn't offended by it. But the person who wrote the email obviously used that as one of the examples. And then also said that I was threatened, I guess, on the job. I've spoken to this particular individual there that they're centering the attention on at least maybe three or four times. He was not a person I spoke to every day. He had no problem with me. As a matter of fact, one thing he said to me is like, yo, you remind me of my godfather. He looks just like you. And then we had a conversation about that. And that was it. Because as L has eloquently put, I am the grandfather of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm old enough to be 90% of these people's dad
95.
And maybe a grandfather. Fuck you. But it's like that shit to me is silly. But I don't like you using my name, because if this individual gets a hold of that email, they'll think, oh, Vin went back and said something about, and which is not true. I just think the whole thing is fucking ridiculous.
Look, I recommend that you go in and you play absolute dumb. Like, oh, I didn't even see an email. What are you talking about? It has nothing to do with you.
That's I like that. And then you just look around the room and see whose eyes start to buck.
I'm not familiar. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Explain to me. Tell me about this email.
The person who was most eager to tell you is the one who wrote the email.
Yeah. This sounds like the Godfather. Banzini. Yeah. It was Banzini. You
the
know.
Thick yeah. Hot. So well, give us an update next week. I'm really kind of invested in this story now.
This is worse. This is better than Netflix, nigga. Well,
treat it like a guy you get on the subway and is a guy smoking crack.
Uh-huh.
And then he puts that out and then he starts smoking a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just pretend like you don't even see it.
Listen, I
don't know how that works, because I've seen someone pull out a crack pipe and I stopped him because
well, that was in front.
Secondhand. Hey, I don't want to smoke crack.
I don't want to smell like crack when I go to work.
Right,
and I don't want to have a contact, sir. Like, I'm good on the crack contact, please.
Right, like
smoke that over there.
Like crack, it just gets in your clothes and
it's
so hard
and
to crack.
Now I've got to use Febreze and it's just the whole problem. But I think what's going to happen is we will definitely have a talking to tomorrow, because he then bashed the trainers and said that it's unprofessional and that it should have been handled. So he named one of the trainers, he CC'd all the trainers, and one of my trainers is probably a dude that you don't want to really, both of them are dudes that you don't really want to fuck with. Like one of my trainers, he's like MMA qualified. I'm just gonna leave it at that. And the other dude is, he's a dude that spent a lot of time doing some shit before he came to transit. So I'm like, these are people you really don't want to get on your bad side. And it's fucked up because they're great trainers. These guys really know their shit. And I've learned a lot from these dudes. And I hate that. Whatever this person's agenda is, they're bringing, and he kept saying, we feel, and I'm like, and then I'm a part of a smaller chat, the betting chat, and we were all in the same, we all worked together, and was like, who the fuck is we? Like, who was they?
Who was they?
Exactly. Who the fuck are these people? And I don't like them. Like, like, who the fuck, like, you're speaking, speak for yourself.
Right.
You should, your fucking pronoun should be me, not fucking we. Like, stop with the fucking...
Unless we is their pronoun.
Oh, yeah, easier to find.
Listen, I don't know.
We and they.
I have no idea,
who identifies
bro.
As we in this cohort?
You speak in French, nigga. I don't know.
I recommend stop talking about this shit to anybody on any chat related to work. Because it sounds as messy as fuck.
Yeah, it's very messy. It's very messy. And I stay clear of saying anything derogatory. The only thing I said was, I don't really appreciate my name being involved in this. I don't like it. It's fucked up because I'm trying to do my job. I just want to go to work, make my money, and come home. This is real juvenile. It's really high school. It's putting a black eye, not only on the program that I'm in, but on our class as a whole. And like I said, I don't need to be going in working with other people. Are you with that class? So what now, because I'm associated with this class, I'm forever put in this bag? No, fuck that. I don't want nothing to do with that shit.
Well, yes, that is the case.
Unfortunately, it is, right?
Yeah.
In other news, last week I talked about this great fucking restaurant that I found in Jersey City called Vegan AF. Son, why did I go today with the wife? And we were like, yo, mouth was watering on the whole way there. for one of those delicious ass cheeseburgers, and I get there and the motherfucker is closed for good.
Oh, damn.
They close. Fellas, you didn't even get a chance to enjoy the deliciousness that is vegan.
Wait.
They closed down. Apparently, last week was their final week open. And the thing is, when me and my wife.
The person who you told you wrote a review, were they aware, do you think?
They had to have been aware. They had to. They could have told us. So apparently, when we went there that day, I was noticing that. Like things seemed to be like disheveled, like they had stuff like, and I said to my wife, I said, you know, this, they look a little, and my wife goes, oh, it's not that bad. It's, you know, they just have some stuff near the front, near the entrance or whatever. And that wasn't really near the entrance. It was near like the counter. Like they had racks of stuff, like racks.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it looks a little disheveled in here, but the food was fucking awesome. Fam, we walk up to the spot. And we, you know how you look through the window, like, are they closed? And look, the whole shit is gutted.
Wow. Damn.
It was like.
So the moving boxes didn't clue you in too.
There were no moving boxes. That's the thing. There was nothing
U-Haul, that said to me. U-Haul parked outside.
Listen, there was nothing that said to me that you guys were going to be closed in 2 days. Right? No one said that. There was nothing there.
Wild is, I almost want to see your review on Yelp now.
It's on Google. I Googled it.
Just look at burgers.
Listen.
Your review.
They put their whole foot in that. Listen. Their burgers are delicious. So now we went to IG and followed their page. Again, ladies and gentlemen, no, this is real. Like they make.
Is the IG really still up?
The IG's still up. Oh. Vegan AF in Jersey City. I want to send a plea out there to all of our listeners, especially if you're in the New York, New Jersey area, especially if you're trying to be vegan for the first time or trying alternative diets. I've been on this vegetarian thing since October, and it's very, very difficult to, for me anyway, because I'm brand new to this, to find places that I really, really enjoy that don't have meat, that have alternative things to eat. This restaurant, I'm telling you, and I'm mad that I didn't get to try the other things. And I have a mutual friend of my wife and I that glows about this place. She's like, she's had everything from this spot. Very, very good food. They have a GoFundMe and they're trying to get a food truck because unfortunately, because of the corporate greed that is existing in Jersey City right now, they were being charged $6,000 a month for rent.
Mm-hmm.
In a place that 5 years ago was probably charging $3,000 a month for rent. But because of the pandemic, everybody wants to get their bread right now. They've got a great food, great menu. They're starting a food truck, guys. So if you're out there and you're new to veganism and you like good vegan food, go to their GoFundMe page. Just look up Vegan AF.
What's their IG?
It's Vegan AF The Heights.
Okay.
Vegan AF underscore the underscore heights.
That's okay. Funny. It's the first thing that popped up on my search.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
So algorithm heard you loud and clear.
Listen, I want
popped up for me. Go ahead.
I want to make sure that this restaurant survives because one, the staff was really good. The food is awesome, and they're trying to start a food truck. They need $35,000. They've only raised like $3,000, which is crazy to me because you can be an asshole with a rifle and kill a room full of people, and they give you $1 million worth of fucking GoFundMe. This is a place that really serves good food, and they're very, like I said, they're nice. They deserve a shot. This was their only business. This was the only source of income.
Yes.
They're like damn near about to lose their home. This is what they do.
I'm not going to be funny, but you know what they should consider doing? A ghost kitchen.
And that's what I said to my wife today. I said they should try to do that. But if they do that, then they're not going to have, they'll have to go through one of the, Grubhub or Uber Eats.
The ghost kitchen that I used to go to in the Bronx,
mm-hmm.
You had to come pick it up.
Okay.
There was no Uber Eats or DoorDash or any of that.
Mm.
You call the place to order, they'll tell you come in like 30 minutes. You go get your food, you bounce.
All right. So I'm gonna send that suggestion to them in their inbox. But listen, guys, you know, $5, $2, whatever you can afford, man. I'm really gonna do a video. I'm gonna push for this because I hate to see minorities. I hate to see minority businesses lose because of a scumbag who doubles the rent. I used to live right around the block from this restaurant. And when I lived in that part of Jersey City, which was a little while ago, the rent has doubled and probably tripled in some cases. Mm. And I remember one time when I was driving Uber, I actually picked up the people who lived in the apartment that I lived in the same exact apartment. Mm-hmm. And they told me the rent had literally doubled, not either doubled or tripled from what we was paying when we lived there. So, you know,
I mean, that sounds like a good cause. And if you're out there right now and you're thinking about sending them money, send us money first and then send them money. But send us money first.
And that's Dakota 40. That's $ Dakota 40 at our Cash App.
Cash App.
So we can have enough money to create some videos so we can save their business.
Right.
And also buy us a bottle. But anyway,
you got to feed yourself. You're right. So you can feed others.
Exactly.
And this is an idea I had back in Baltimore back in 2015. Of creating like micro shops for small businesses, particularly like small restaurants where they would only pay like on scale based on the number of sales that they had, but they would get a small kitchen and they could do straight sales from the shop, but they wouldn't be burdened with, you know, absorbing it.
The overhead and everything else.
You know what we need is food courts in the hood.
Yeah, that was essentially what it was, but just building out like micro spaces in buildings. Spaces.
No doubt.
So,
well, you know, support minority businesses and good food. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is my check-in for the week.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's good, people? This is your boy, L.O., a.k.a. the Ad Man. If you like this show, then make sure you subscribe to Decoding 40 on IG, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok. All right, my check-in will not be as long as you two, because you have used up all the check-in time. Thank you. First, I want to say happy birthday to my mother, who is turning the age that she's turning today, the day that we're recording this. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I was actually the second person to call her. My nephew beat me to the punch, but that's okay. And it's funny because I was going to call her, but I knew she wasn't up yet. But, you know, grandkids don't care. Mm-hmm. So, let's see. I have notes because I'm sticking to my notes now for my check-ins. The other week, I was invited to go to a private membership club to watch some tennis games and had a margarita, which had to be the strongest margarita and the most expensive margarita I have had in quite a while.
At least the two went hand in hand.
Exactly. Because if
that'd
it was
be $35.
A weak margarita, pretty much. If it was a weak margarita, I would have been terribly upset. Remember how we would be when we left that Mexican restaurant in Tribeca?
Yes.
The brunch spot?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I had one and I left feeling like that.
Wow.
And I was like, I can't be feeling the effects of this alcohol. And it certainly was. I was like, wow. That was
nice.
Very powerful drink, my friend.
That's a margarita that was made by Margarita.
I think his name was Margarita. Let's see. Other than that, I've been catching up on my TV and my movies. Tokyo Vice is, I think, down to the last episode of the second season. I am very upset to see it conclude. This is a great series again. Unless you want to read for the entire duration of the show, I don't recommend it. But if you don't mind reading while they're talking in Japanese, I absolutely recommend the show. It's not entirely in Japanese, but about 90% of it is in Japanese.
Is it like Narcos? Are they
no, it's more like
Narcos, or is it heavily subtitled?
It's heavily subtitled. The American character speaks English for the most part. And then the Japanese characters, they know English also. So if they're talking to him, they might do sort of like a mix between the two. But if it's only Japanese characters on the screen, they're only talking Japanese. Mm. But it's a great series. I watched Shirley with Regina King. Fantastic. I knew Shirley Chisholm obviously ran for president, but I had no idea about the backstory. I think they do a great job in this biopic of being able to just sort of highlight what it took for her to even maintain a campaign for as long as she did. Mm-hmm. And just a powerful force. And there was points in my life where I kind of tapped into her and kind of read and watched old videos of her, even in Senate hearings. she just was a phenomenal woman. And I think the portrayal of her and the storyline that they chose to follow honors that. And I think it probably is going to win some awards if it's within season. If not, it still should. So I definitely recommend you guys watching that.
It's on Netflix?
It is on Netflix.
Okay, I got to watch that. I watched
Origin, written and directed by Ava DuVernay. A phenomenal movie. I did not expect to really like this movie to the point that I did. It's about examining racism versus caste system, and makes the argument that while there are elements of racism, the thing that really keeps us apart are the pillars of caste systems. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal movie. Ava has a way of telling a story that pulls you in. Even when I was like trying to do some work, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to just watch this. And I'm glad I did. I can't think of the sister's name. Ajinu. I don't know her last name, but she's the main character. Beautiful actress. Even Niecy Nash is in it. She does a phenomenal job. So when you get the chance to watch that, definitely watch it.
And that's where? On Netflix or Prime?
Watch it wherever you watch it. I can't tell you where I watched it.
No, I you know why? Because I saw a clip of it on TikTok. It was like a 10-minute clip of it, and it you know how sometimes on TikTok they do like a one scene, the next scene, like four or five scenes, and it was intriguing.
No, I don't know.
But watch it. Yeah.
I'm still not on TikTok. Oh, I got off. I haven't got back on. Pause. No Diddy.
No Diddy.
I watched.
No Diddy.
No me.
No me.
I think that's fucked up. Because I feel like Meek got dragged into something that was not. He just got dragged in.
Well, did you hear the voicemail, or did you hear the supposed soundbite?
No,
that the dude recorded.
Yeah,
no.
There's a soundbite that sounds like
it's very disturbing.
Him and they don't. No one says their name, but if you listen to it, it sounds like the both of them are fucking each other. Or one's
but it almost sounds like AI did it.
It could be AI. And what I said to when me and a wife listened to it, we both, our faces both scrunched up. And I thought, well, maybe they were running a train with two chicks. Like, who? It could have been them in a room having sex with two women.
No,
and I
was not like, based on what they said.
So what? The voices are supposed to be, one's supposed to be Diddy, one's supposed to be Meek Mill?
Take that.
And the other guy was in there recording.
No, he's saying that he was at the door. He heard something. Everybody was passed out, but he didn't drink any of the spiked drinks. So he was still pretty sober, and he heard the noise coming from the bedroom. So he took his phone, put it to the door, and was recording. My thing is, that's some weirdo shit.
I don't believe this guy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't believe this guy.
And then you would hold this video or audio for all these years, or actually, I don't even know when he's supposed to.
It's not that long. Diddy and Meek have only been a couple. I mean, friends for a little while, allegedly, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. I don't know. You know, I'm gonna say this. I don't know, and I don't care. And I think that, especially in minority communities, in particular the Black community, there's this duality that we live in, where it's all right to be homosexual or gay or whatever, but if you are, I'm going to expose you, make you feel like shit. So, like, so what? If the guy's fucking people in the ass, so what? So what? Whatever he does not make you any money. He's not making your life better. So,
and that's the weird part. Like, why are you recording this and then recording yourself clout chasing off of their sexual experience? That is very, like, if you think about it, that is very bizarre behavior.
But I think it's just,
well, you know, he had a, before all of this came out, he had a lawsuit.
Who?
There was a dispute about some production deal.
Mm. Wait, who are we talking about?
The same guy who
was. Oh, I didn't realize that.
There was a production dispute, and then this other lawsuit came out about him being sexually harassed, and it all came out after Cassie. I thought it was a money grab. It's the whole thing felt like a money grab when he said that, you know, here's some screen grabs of the video that Puffy made me watch, and it was Stevie J having sex with some dude, and it turns out it's like a porn star. But maybe Diddy made you watch this gay porn. I don't know.
He made him watch it. Okay.
But he hung around for 2 years, so I don't know. Right. Or how many years he hung out.
All right. the last movie I watched, did you guys see Damsel with Bobby Millie Brown or Millie Bobby Brown?
No.
Is that the one where it's like with the dragons and shit?
Yes. I knew you wouldn't probably watch it because the like dragon everything. Is the main protagonist.
You don't like dragons and shit.
You don't believe
I don't believe in dragons. No. My wife was actually watching it. That's why I knew what you were talking about.
You still don't believe in dragons?
I don't believe in dragons.
To this day.
It's day.
And ladies and gentlemen, to get that reference, you got to be listening to this motherfucking show every week for the last 5 years. Go on.
It was a decent, it was like a, what do you call it? Like a
Game of Thrones offshoot.
I've never seen great Game of Thrones, so I don't know. But I put it in like Brothers Grimm sort of fairy tale-ish type movie. Angela Bassett is in this movie, surprisingly. And I was like, okay, Angela can play anything in any time period. She's just phenomenal that way. But I would give it a strong 6 out of 10. It's a nice background movie. If you just want to watch some fluff and some silliness, then that would be right up your alley.
And if you like dragons, nigga, this is right up your alley.
If you love dragons, then this is a talking dragon too. So
I don't like dragons that talk. I don't like dragons. Oh, you know. I don't fuck with dragons, son.
With that, that's it. That's the end of my check-in. This is Leon, and I'm done speaking.
Merch drop!
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's up, y'all? We need y'all to support this podcast. Pick yourself up a t-shirt, a hoodie. They're soft. They're poly tri-blend. Luxurious. They're furry on the inside. They're really plush. You can sleep in them. Your wife can sleep in it. Your daughter can steal it. And she can sleep in it. Go over to decoding40pod.com and get yourself a t-shirt, hoodie, whatever you like.
Decoding40pod.com.
Lately, a lot of conversation has been had about blackness, black culture. What is it? What's the state of it? Have we lost our way? Particularly when we talk about certain rap acts. I'm not going to name any names, but there is this sense that the culture has lost its way and it has been bastardized by consumerism, capitalism, and way too much, what would you call it? Maybe clout chasing or I know what I want to say. No, more like clickbait. And its need to constantly feed the monster or the machine and not enough emphasis on either the art, the artistry, the cultivation of work. And this is off of the heels of what we've seen as the sort of the evolution of hip hop, having been a part of that, those that golden era and the beginning of hip hop and what it meant to us, and not having all these external inputs that have basically slutted the genre out. So really, sitting from this vantage point, I'm curious, how would you guys describe black culture today and our main export as it goes out into the world from our communities? And I say communities loosely, just how would you describe community?
I mean, if you consider the main export that comes out of the black community, would probably be in the form of entertainment, right? That's the one thing that white folks clearly exploit and take advantage of in some way, and have always done that. You just, you know, change the last name of the white person and it's either music or it's some art form that they've taken and distributed. But and any time that it becomes a tool for progression or, you know, information or anything like that, they do a very good job of changing the narrative. And where we are right now, it seems like we're at like the fucking final boss of them changing it to whatever the fuck it is right now. Because, you know, what used to be underground is in the forefront, and what used to be in the forefront is now underground. And when you talk about, especially, you know, hip hop, which is something that I hold dear to my heart and love, I can't really understand like what the fuck has happened and how did it get to this point.
I'll just make one observation based on what you just said, that they're changing the narrative. They're not changing the narrative. They're creating the narrative.
Mm. This is true. I got to say, yes. Yeah, you're right.
There's no, it used to be hip hop was the street talking to the outside culture and letting them know what was happening with us. Now, the corporations and social media is dictating what's happening within the culture. Mm-hmm. So that time that you spoke of, L, that time is gone, is dead. Right?
Can it come back?
Not in the same way. Maybe there's another way that we aren't able to see quite yet because, you know, we're 50. Mm-hmm. We're not creating the new. We're not developing the brand new. Someone else is doing that. And maybe,
yeah, but I mean, just clarify the question. In the terms that music, genre, movements are cyclical, is there an opportunity that you see maybe 10 years from now, maybe 15 years from now, maybe 20 years from now, where the culture reclaims the narrative and starts to produce music that is or for the people or the movement or the culture?
When it gets there, it'll be at a point where the top spot is no longer attainable, right? Because right now, what gave birth to hip hop was our inability to have music and having instruments in schools, right? So we had to come up with a new way, and that's what gave birth to hip hop. Because right now, what they're doing is like there's a model for whether you're going to be a vlogger, or you're going to be a TikTok star, you're going to be an Instagram model, or you're going to be an OnlyFans model. Like these are the models that they're chasing now. Like everyone is chasing that. But when it becomes at a level where it's unattainable, right? Where the only way you can get to that level is if you have the resources, they're going to create something else. It's going to become a new model. It's going to become something that's completely grassroots. But until that point, they're all going to be chasing this because they see that this is real potential. There are people on Twitch who are making millions of dollars just playing video games online. So everybody wants to do that. Or people who are making millions of dollars posting their videos to YouTube. Everybody wants to do that. Or OnlyFans or TikTok or Instagram. That's what everybody's chasing right now. But then when that becomes unattainable, they're going to find some other way to do it.
You know what I think? I think that there was an opportunity for the revitalization of your Public Enemy / KRS / Rakim early hip hop type of energy to come back when George Floyd was killed, murdered. And I think that the corporations did a very, very smart thing in jumping on top of it before it caught a fire and turned into that type of movement, because even fucking Activision was Black Lives Matter, and they ran with that shit, and they made it, they fucking watered it down, and they essentially stopped it from growing to what it could have potentially been. And I think they do a very good job of snuffing out the flame before it even starts. And the second part of it is social media. Social media does a very good job of telling on itself. And when things start to kind of take a fire, they're quick to say, oh, this seems to be getting a lot of potential. There's a lot of hashtags around this. Find out why they're doing this. What's going on? And if it's something that they can make money off of, they'll do that. But if it's something that could cause a problem for the mainstream movement or as far as corporations, they're going to stomp this shit out and figure out a way how they can do that. So before, when we were younger, there wasn't a whole lot of that. It took a while for them to really kind of catch on to something that was grassroots. Now, after a couple of hashtags gets noticed a couple of times, they're on top of this shit and they're figuring out a way to put the fire out. That's one of the reasons why they want to get rid of TikTok, because TikTok is a place where, first of all, TikTok is not being controlled by Zuckerberg. Or what's the other one? The one that controls Twitter, that piece of shit.
Musk.
They don't control it, because the last time that what's his name, Zuckerberg, was on trial or whatever by Congress, whatever, he sold his soul. He sold his soul a long time ago, and he's allowing the government to do whatever they want and be in and out of Facebook and find things. That's why right now you can get banned on Facebook or Instagram for the slightest thing you say. Because the CIA and everybody else, and the people who don't want free speech, who say it's a part of the Constitution, they're fighting against it. But TikTok is not owned by one of them. They spent.
Right. So I don't think they want to ban it. I think they want to control it.
They want to control it. But if they can't control it, they're going to get rid of it. And that's why they're trying to force this company to sell it to America or to sell it to one of them. Because if Zuckerberg gets his hand on it or the other piece of shit gets his hand on it, it'll never
Won't be able to buy it. So right now, the scuttlebutt is Mnuchin and company is supposed to be trying to buy it. What I wanted to tap into is something that you said, which I think is the more nefarious thing about social media, which reminded me of one of my favorite Prince songs is Joy in Repetition. But there's actually not so much joy in repetition because the repetitiveness of sound and the vibrations that we're actually hearing from the music, I think that is giving way to making people believe that this is the sound that they need to sort of vibrate to. Mm-hmm. And with that sound comes certain or lack of words and lyricism. I was listening to a new KRS song and it was so funny to me. The lyrics are dope, but the beat is so different from what's being played every day in and out that I physically felt the difference in the beat. Because it was more of a boom bap and you don't get to hear boom bap often. And it was like, oh, this is something that is not played ever.
It's really speaking to a part of your soul that you remember from yesteryear.
Exactly. Because if you put on anybody, I don't know, Ice Spice, and I'm not saying anything about that.
Yeah, please don't put on Ice Spice. Turn it off.
Little something.
But, I mean, but she has a line that says, what is it? You're not even the shit. You're not the fart.
You're not even the fart.
Come on.
Which is funny, but the way that she says it.
Yeah, for a 5-year-old. Come on, son. But I digress. But Cardi, all of them have this same sort of cadence and sound. And I noticed I was watching a documentary on Fort Greene. All of the guys that were featured in that documentary talk in that same cadence. And I was like, this is so wild. So the music has absolutely massaged people in the way that they think, the way that they talk, and the way that they get involved, whether or not they get involved. And I think things that would improve the neighborhood, improve their lot in life and things like that. Because you talked about Public Enemy, Sister Soldier. Like, we had people who were talking and speaking to power, talking truth to power. But I'm like, and we do definitely have the academics and we always will have the giants to lean back on. I don't think they get amplified to the level that they were back in the 90s.
No. Only because he was the one that said it most publicly recently. Because I know he didn't come up with this by himself, but this is one of the times where Kanye was right. We are a group of people who are very vocal, but we don't own our own voice.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot control how it's distributed around the world. We can't control it. Whether it's on television, whether it's in movies, whether it's in music, although they need us, even sports, they need us, but we don't own it and we can't control our own voice. So someone else decides how we look and sound to the rest of the world. Hmm. We're at a severe disadvantage.
It's true. I was just talking to someone earlier, one of my boys, about what did he say that we need to tap into monetizing our Black privilege? And I've responded, the thing is, everybody else is monetizing our privilege except for us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All day.
Yeah.
And so, I think any attempts for ownership, that's when we're met with scandals.
Pushback.
Yeah. There's been so many examples of people who we know who have tried to own our voices. And the problem is like, you got to be squeaky clean. Because if you got any skeletons...
You gotta be the case.
If you're beyond squeaky clean, you're actually going to end up. They're probably going to kill you,
right?
Because if you can be Suge Knighted, if you can be Diddy'd, if he likes to watch, if he likes being cucked, okay. What does that have to do with him trying to own a network or him trying to have ownership of this voice? You know, but character assassination. That's on the menu
all day. It's the value menu. Any final thoughts on Black culture?
Well, I think that's probably why Tyler Perry doesn't get better.
Stay in your lane, young man.
Yeah, because if you've got billions of dollars, you could support
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
and make stuff that we own and make it better. Even Oprah, she stays in the corner. She stays in her lane.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't venture too far outside of that lane.
Yeah.
And she's an owner.
Mm-hmm. Here's your swimming lanes. All right. Well, thank you. Let's get some beautiful traveler music then.
Welcome back to another segment of What's the Scenario?
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
All right. So this week, normally I hide the details of What's the Scenario from you guys, but I wanted you to kind of stew on this for a while because I don't have daughters. I have two sons. And I mean, you know, although I have nieces, but their dads, 99% of the dads are in their lives. So I came across this video where a young lady, she's not on camera, so it's not clear as to what her age is. But she apparently had asked her mom if it was okay for her boyfriend to spend the night. Her mom then says, if it's okay with your dad, then it's okay with me. So we see the video where she asks her dad, can her boyfriend spend the night? And the dad says, yes, he can sleep in your room as long as the door is open. And one thing that he said, or he wanted to kind of highlight, is respect my house. Do not, basically, you're saying don't have any sex. You have a younger sibling. You have two younger siblings here, and don't violate the rules of the house. So I wanted to ask you two, as fathers of daughters, one, how would you respond to that question? And how, what do you think? Even though this is his house, he can do whatever he wants to do. What do you think about his decision to allow his daughter's boyfriend to sleep in the same bed with her, in her bed?
His daughter, his decision.
Yeah.
But, my daughter, hell no.
I would have responded, you must be out of your motherfucking mind if you think I'm going to let some motherfucker sleep in the same bed with you. Now, I have two daughters and they have a large age gap in between the both of them. One is 27, the other one is 16. 16-year-old already knows what's up. And my 16-year-old, I have been a full-time father in her life, her entire life. My oldest, you know, it was a different situation. I was the weekend dad and, you know, summers spending with me and things of that nature. But I made it a point to, anytime I spent time with her, to give her as many jewels as I could give her, because I knew that time was precious and she needed to know who I was. And to this day, she knows I'm her dad, and she loves me, and I love both of them dearly. I remember my oldest was turning 21, and she contacted me and she says, hey, dad, I want to come to New York and I want to spend my 21st birthday in New York with you. And I said, fine, right? No problem. Then there was a following call. Well, I'm coming with my boyfriend, right? And I said, no problem. I said, so where are you guys staying, right? Because I'm not naive to think that, you know, she's 21 years old and she's living with her boyfriend, that she's a virgin. I mean, I know things go down, and that wasn't a problem for me. I said, well, where do you guys plan on staying? Because I don't mind if you guys come to New York, whatever. She goes, well, you know, it's kind of expensive and, you know, we can basically get the plane tickets, but do you mind if we come to the house? And I set, you know, the parameters of the rules right away. I said, I don't have a problem with both of you guys staying, but you and him will not be sleeping in the same bed, not up in this motherfucker. The only people that are fucking in this house is me and her stepmother, my wife. There's no other fucking going on in this house that I'm going to be. Sure, you can come and sleep in the same bed, whatever. So when he came, very respectful young man, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I didn't have a problem with him. He came in, he's, you know, said all the right things. And I said, and I said, well, let me show you to where you're sleeping. He was sleeping in my current office at the time, which I had before. I used to have like a bed down here and it wasn't looking like this, right? So you're going to sleep in the basement. And I put my daughter all the way in the top floor next to her sister's room. And at the time, I had a full bed in there, a queen size bed in there that had belonged to my mother. And I put it in there for the purpose of if people come over. And that's what happened. And now if they left the house and they wanted to go to a hotel, or if they wanted to go into the park or whatever you want to do outside of this house, you're an adult. You could do whatever you want. But while you're in my house, and I told him, shut up, while you're staying here, there will be none of that going on in this motherfucker. And I said it just like that. There will be none of that. I said, so you have to respect my wishes. And he was like, no problem. And she, my daughter already knew, you know, dad is not having that shit. There's no fucking way.
Mm.
And she respected that. And while she was a resident in my house, there was no men coming up in here. You want to, if you want to live that type of life, either A, get your own spot, or B, go somewhere else. There's none of that in here. And my youngest now with, you know, her boyfriend, you know, there's been plenty of times. Sit up. What are you doing? Why are you laying down on the couch like that? Sit up. Like, I'm not here for that. When you get older, when you're 18 and you have your own place, you guys can do whatever the fuck you want to do. But while I pay the mortgage and you live up here under my roof, there's none of that shit.
Let me ask you, if they get married, then they come visit, then that's something different.
You married?
Vin took
if you're if home. You're married, if you're married, then you need to get a hotel. If you're old enough to be married, get a fucking hotel to fuck in. I don't want to listen. Come on now. Get a fucking hotel. If you're married and you're coming to visit, you should have enough money to get a hotel.
What if they don't?
Yeah, what if they don't? What if it's last minute and they just got to fly in and fly out the next day?
You better give me whatever fucking Diddy's giving to people at the party so I'm knocked the fuck out, because I don't want to hear shit.
I don't think you want what Diddy's giving.
I mean, I don't want none of his pause. I don't want no Diddy. I don't want none of that.
You want a Diddy drop.
I don't want a Diddy drop or nothing. I want to be knocked the fuck out so I don't hear nothing. I don't want, listen, I don't want it. No. Come on. Call me old fashioned. Call me Robert De Niro and Meet the Parents. Just not happening, son. I don't care. Listen.
I feel you. Right, at 21 and she's got a live-in boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the house, I think you're going to have to sleep in a basement, son, and my daughter will be upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're married, by the time they're married, I'm going to embrace it, their relationship. At this point, I'm be looking for grandkids. If you're married, so go ahead. Have at it. I don't want to hear it. Yeah. I don't want to hear it. You better be that. You better have enough respect to not be acting crazy in the house.
Yeah, I don't want to wake up going to the bathroom.
If my daughter is 27, like your daughter is 27, when she gets to that age and she has a live-in boyfriend, now I'm not going to send him to the basement. 21, I might send him to the basement. 27, I'm not going to send you to the basement. Like, we're all adults here now.
Mm.
We're all grown-ups.
Mm-hmm. And you know? Get your own hotel room, grown-up.
Yeah.
So I'm going to flip it just a little bit, because I can hear people talking about, but what about the sons? So you have a son. I have two sons. What would you then, would it be the same deal for your son?
Absolutely.
He's 21.
Absolutely.
With a living girlfriend.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
It Absolutely. Would be. For me, it would be.
He'd be sleeping in the basement and she can sleep upstairs. But he would sleep in the basement. But like at 27, if my son is 27, he has a live-in girlfriend. And they're both, you know, they're both 27. Yeah, of course. You can sleep in the same room. You're already taking the risk. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not preventing anything from happening.
But then you're like, nah, son.
There's just a certain level of respect. And even my son, because I got to think about how his mother would feel. Right. So it's not just my decision. It's also my wife's decision. And just because he's a boy and all that other stuff, we already know what's going down. But. Like again, I can see them sleeping in the same
traveling. We're talking about them traveling from out of state and staying at my house.
It
doesn't automatically mean that they're going to be fucking banging down the walls. Like, it just means that they're going to be sharing a bed.
Right.
I think that if I had a son, and because I have a daughter, I think they would have enough sense to respect that. But I would be like, well, why don't you guys get a hotel? Oh, we can't afford it. Okay, well, I'm telling you, this is what it is. I don't want to hear it. I don't. Come on, son. Stop.
No, nobody wants to. Nobody wants to hear it.
I think everybody's in agreement on that.
We agree. We don't want to hear it.
But the video that Elle sent, again, I can't make an assumption because you don't see the young lady talking in the video. You just see his reaction and what he's saying. Well,
you know, she's young enough that she still has a bedroom at the house.
Yeah.
So, and that could go up until 21, maybe 22, depending on what the.
Yeah.
Her situation is, if she's going to school or she's working, and they just have decided that she can still continue to live at home.
Yeah, he's gonna have to sleep on the couch. Sorry.
Yeah. You're not mad.
If you got a living boyfriend, you live somewhere else and you come to visit me, that's one thing. If you live here and this boy is just coming over to he's gonna sleep on the couch.
Hey, Mr. Right. Johnson, if you hear this room rocking, don't come a knocking. Fuck out of here. These kids are disrespectful as fuck.
Oh, but I didn't think she was being disrespectful. She asked her parents to see what they thought, and if he could stay, he would stay. If he couldn't stay, he would leave. And they both agreed that he could stay.
I think based on how you asked the question, I kind of assumed that they were teens or even, like older teens, maybe early 20s.
I got the impression she was somewhere in 18, 19-ish, maybe 20 age.
There's no way you have two 18-year-olds sleeping in a room together. I don't care how wide open the door is. You could take the shit off the hinges. They're going to figure out how to get this nut. They're going to figure it out.
As everybody falls asleep.
Yes.
As soon as you hear.
They're not going to sleep all night. Just waiting for you to hit two Z's.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's my daddy sleeping. Slide it in. Fuck out of here.
And I actually have experience with that. So it is true. With that said, that's the latest installment of What's the Scenario? But we would love to hear your thoughts. Why don't you text us and let us know, or leave us a voicemail and let us know whether or not you, one, are allowing your kids to shack up in your home. Two, you're allowing your daughter to get banged out while you are asleep in the next room. Just text us at 619-940-4040.
He went hard.
That's What's the Scenario for this week. All right, guys, we have reached that golden moment of the podcast. Let me know what you've learned this week.
I've learned that it's going to be a no for me, dog. When it comes to boyfriends over the house. The fuck out of here. Not up in here.
Well, what did I learn this week, not necessarily from this podcast, but what I learned this week is that my wife has a very big heart. She has love for people who deserve no love. I don't know. I have no idea why Kate Middleton, she has some sympathy for her, but I have none. She has some sympathy for William and what's the other one's name?
Harry.
William and Harry, because their mom died, but I have none. Because you're now sitting on the top, you're sitting on a throne. You know, like Game of Thrones, you're sitting on a throne of swords. They're like sitting on a throne of bones, blood, and rape.
Well, all right. Well, Harry lives in Calabasas, doesn't he?
Yeah, still.
He renounced his throne.
Renounced my throne. I didn't see him give anybody any money.
Yeah, that's true. What I learned is not based on the show, but maybe has... It's a nice dovetail off of what Alaric just said. You might think they do, but true enemies do not exist. There's a tremendous freedom in knowing this. Only you have the power to hold yourself back. There are no excuses. Your enemies are in your head, and the world is waiting. If someone who looks like you has succeeded, what excuses do you have?
Who said that? Prince Charles?
Actually, I think it was Prince. That's a joke. I have no idea who said it. It was just a quote that I saw, and I captured it.
That's a lie. They weren't black, I'll tell you that. They were not of color, I will tell you that. Because those are enemies do exist.
Take it for what you will. And if you take umbrage with it, I will accept that as well. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in this week and every week. As you know, you can always text us at 619-940-4040 or give us a call. You can check us out online for merch and the latest news of Decoding 40 at decoding40pod.com. You can email us with your business ideas and partnership ideas at decoding40@gmail.com. And if you want to see something funny or engaging, go to our social media platforms, all at Decoding 40. With that, we invite you to come check us out next week. And peace.
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 Thank you for listening to Decoding 40.